Well, I brought a little quick devotional thing here, which I will read.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do the verses first. We can just pull those up. I got Hebrews 12:13. We're talking about keeping our way straight and focusing on what we need to focus on. And so Hebrews 12:13, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. And then Isaiah 40. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our Lord. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So we're trying to keep things focused forward in a straight line. So this thing that I'm going to read is written by a student, and he has a teacher who is a rabbi. So we're standing on a ridge overlooking a vast desert expanse. The teacher began reciting the words of the prophet, the voice of one.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good to see you.
The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. How does the prophet describe the way of God? The way of God is straight, the student replied. That's right, he said. And in physics, in geometry, in space, what is the shortest distance between two points? A straight line.
Yep.
And not just in a physical realm, but in a spiritual realm as well. The path of God is straight, so the only way to walk it is to walk straight. How do you walk straight in the spiritual realm? A straight line is a consistent line. It has only one direction. The opposite of a straight line is a crooked or wavering line, a line that's inconsistent and follows more than one direction. But the more the line wavers, the longer it gets, and the longer it takes to get from one get to the same point. So the more you waver on your path in God, the more you veer back and forth, the more time it takes, the more effort you must put in, the more energy you must expend to get to the same place, and the less you will go forward. You see, in the end, it is the wavering and crooked path that is much harder, and the straight path that is much easier, for it is the straight path that takes less time, energy, and less effort. It is a straight path that allows you to go further. How exactly do I apply that to my life? You walk in a single aim, a single motive, a single goal, and a single heart. You'll eliminate any wavering to the right or left of that goal. And whatever doesn't line up with your calling, with your faith, with your convictions, and your purpose, you eliminate it from your life. You eliminate it from your actions, your words, your thoughts. When you walk straight, everything lines up. Your words with your actions, your actions with your faith, your life with your heart. And one more thing, he said. In the prophecy, the word straight in the Hebrew, yashar. And the yashar also means good, upright, pleasant, prosperous. For these are blessings given to the one who makes straight the path and walks in the way of yashar. So our mission is, make it your aim to eliminate all wavering in your life and whatever is not in the line of God with God's will. Walk and live in a straight line. That's it.
Thank you.
It's easier to do right, I guess. Most of the time.
Keep on the straight and narrow, because wide is the path to hell.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to follow that. It's so easy to follow the path, that path.
You talk about how do we do that? And, Rich's message this Sunday talks about something similar to that. He looks at our time and how we divide it up. You know, he talks about that as being one of the indicators of, you know, whether we're on track and how we're even spending our time. Because time is the one thing we can't recover.
Right.
The one resource that's, you know, not under, totally under our control. And he talks about, you know, dividing it up among, figuring out how much time you spend at work, how much time you spend with family, how much time you spend with in recreation, you know, looking at all of those and realizing that the amount of time you spend in these things is really you setting your priorities.
Yeah.
You look at that, and all of a sudden you realize what you thought was straight isn't so straight, you know?
Yeah.
I think one of the dangers is that we let other people tell us what's straight. You know, in our hearts, when we read our scripture, we know what's straight, but then we let other people tell us, well, you know, this path is okay. You know, it's okay if you veer a little to the right or to the left on this path or that path.
Sounds logical. A lot of time to have a good argument.
Oh, man. You mean like the one that snake made in the garden?
Yeah, right.
Sounds logical.
Yeah. That was kind of early on, wasn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
Man.
Yeah.
I went to a Reasons to Believe meeting in Tampa last Saturday, and we studied what is mitochondria DNA, RNA, the mitochondria RNA, which has supposedly been passed down by Eve. So I was trying to figure out how many years ago could that be. I mean, they're saying it's like 100,000 to 200,000 years ago. It's the same piece of chromosome has been passed down by the woman ever since Eve. And the man, they tracked back man's DNA, but they ran into some sort of problem with Noah. And they figure it's just coming from Noah now. RNA or DNA. RNA is what gives the cell the energy or something. Converts ATP or converts glucose into ATP. Anyway, that's all I know about it. A little too technical.
Yeah.
But figuring out, you know, just trying to imagine all that is pretty daunting. Of when that could have been, when that could have happened. Another 50,000, whenever, you know, probably maybe after she left, I guess after it all started, after they left Eden, I suppose. Yeah,
I think we get waylaid sometimes trying to figure out things we were never meant to figure out.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And then you stumble into things and you think, well, scripture must be wrong. No, it's not wrong. It just never told you things you didn't need to know.
Right.
You know? Because it knew you'd get sidetracked.
Right, yeah.
That argument all the time. King went out and knew his wife. Where did she come from? Not really something you need to know. You know? It was never meant to be a genealogy of every living person.
Yeah. I think that, you know, God created the universe, but he also operates it. You know, if we didn't have 6.5% nitrogen in the air, there'd be no life on Earth, yeah, whatever the numbers are.
And mm-hmm. the great you coincidences.
That's crazy. So then he arranged sanctification so that I could have a relationship with him. And he's busy running, operating the universe. So that's pretty amazing to me. And so besides that, he has a relationship with every person and probably every pet.
Yeah.
So my question is, I want to look this up, but how many people were ever born? How many births have there been in since he created the earth? And he had a relationship with every one of them. And even I don't know, after death, at least the ones in heaven, he has a relationship with them.
Yeah.
So he's got pretty busy schedule.
Yeah, I'd say so.
My goodness, man.
Yeah.
I heard that most people born that were ever born was like in the last 100 years or something.
Probably.
Most of the people, is that right?
Yeah, because we now have...
We got 7 billion.
7 billion.
Yeah.
But before that, there were 7 billion. You know what? There were billions before that, you know, so that's a big number.
I think what scientists said years ago... Well, back in ancient times, before ancient times, pre-ancient times, it's if you're saying the Earth was not a short Earth or not a short time period for Earth, the Earth was made in 15 billion years of Big Bang. You're thinking if you follow that, then something. Let me see what happened. What were we talking about? I can't even remember.
How many people there are?
Oh, yeah.
Where we're born.
Oh, that's right. Since, so back in ancient, back then.
Since Adam and Eve.
Even humans came to the point that they were maybe only like a tribe of people, I think somebody I heard said on Earth. But that would have been sometime after Eden or...
But they lived 900 years. Some of them were 900 years old.
That's true. 700 years.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. You can have one every year or two.
I remember on that show, The Chosen, where Jesus is having a conversation with the Roman, I forget who he is.
The centurion or the...
Yeah, and they're starting to talk about John the Baptist. And Peter refers to John the Baptist as Creepy John.
Creepy John. Creepy John.
And he's telling this Roman guy and he's explaining how, remember when Caesar came to this region? You guys flattened out the roads, took all the stones out so his carriage wouldn't, or... He says, that's what John the Baptist is to me. He's like clearing the road and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the Roman guy kind of understood what he was talking about.
Gaius.
Mm-hmm.
It was Gaius, one of the...
Oh,
the guy really in charge?
Yeah.
Really, it's the big guy.
The one that got mad at him because he stole Matthew.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Because Matthew was his moneymaker. What did he say? Stop depleting my work pool. Creepy John.
Well, he wore the camel hair stuff. And,
right.
You know, lived in
eight
locusts.
Insects, yeah.
Eight insects. Right. Lived out in the wilderness. And, you know, it's a little... It's a little out there, you know?
You get a bit of teasing of him in that show. Over, you want to, you know, over Logan, eating the locusts. And,
you know, you're talking about having a relationship with all those people. I think one of the things that really struck our Sunday school class was we're studying Daniel. And when the angel comes to Daniel and tells Daniel that God heard your prayer from the very first word that you spoke. Mm-hmm. So not only does he have a relationship with everybody, he's in communication with everybody. You know, every prayer, every word you start to speak to him, he hears it. He's right there. You know. You then like stack them up till the end of the day, like you do with your emails.
Right.
Yeah, he's there immediately. So which is such a comfort, because it means that the minute you cry out to him, you know he's listening.
Right.
He's hearing from that very first moment. You know, he hears you.
I had a situation about 3 weeks ago with my stepson in Malawi, and it's just. And it got to the point where I had trouble focusing. I couldn't even prepare lessons and do anything. And so then it hit me, all right, let me go in and pray about this. And as soon as I said that thought in my mind, it's like, take care of God's business, God will take care of your business, is what I'm, and it's like a peace just came right over me. So I said, okay.
And when you said, let me go pray, that was the start of the prayer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was like, whoa. It's like a peace just went. And I says, okay. So I said, then I had a peace about it. He doesn't irritate me as much as he used to. Well, he's 5,000 miles away. But.
I don't. Sometimes I think the scripture ought to be written on 2x4s. Because sometimes that's what we need, right?
Yeah.
A Louisville slugger. Like scriptures all of that.
That's good.
I'm really grateful that when I have a situation like that, a lot of times that just the sentence that came to your mind gives you the direction you need to go in, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the Holy Spirit, I assume. Yeah. So, you know, it's pretty cool. Just from back here, just the sentence comes up, the thought comes into my mind, and then it, gives you direction,
and it's free. And that's one of the reasons we need to be in Scripture and stay in Scripture, because Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit will remind us of things. Well, it can't remind you of something you never.
That's true.
Yeah,
you don't put it in there. It's not for everybody.
It amazes me. We're in our church. We're reading through the Bible in a year. You know, one of those programs. I'm in Psalms right now. But it just amazes me reading something I've read multiple times before and getting just a completely different meaning or understanding of it. You know, it's really, the word is fantastic. It really is.
Our program's reading Psalms for the second time.
Yeah.
It's one we're using. We start from one again. We went up to about 150, I guess. Is there one? I forget if there's one after that or not. Where they go to? Now it started over at one. When we reached Jeremiah, it started over at one again.
Yeah.
So we're up to about 25 now.
I've been reading stuff that I've read, you know, years ago. It's like, wow, I didn't see that. I mean, just didn't see it before. It didn't make sense. I didn't understand it.
You were in a different place in your life.
Yeah.
You know? And so the Spirit's, you know, telling you, opening up new things to you because of where you are.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I firmly believe that that's a really good exercise for all of us to do, is to get into that once a year reading of the Bible. It's just amazing. The doors it opens, you know.
I wish we could get into the New Testament. Well, we're halfway through the year. We haven't done any New Testament yet, though. We're over halfway through now.
Well, the program that we have has got Old Testament and New Testament, and they're like a line, you know, and you read it in the Old Testament, and it maybe it's a prophecy, and then it comes true over here in the New Testament, and it's really interesting, you know. Wow, look at that. Yep, that's right. That's really quite a program.
A program hadn't done that.
Somebody worked hard to put that together.
What they do is every once in a while they give you like an animated cartoon of what's coming up. Or like, I don't say cartoon, I don't mean cartoon, but it's animation.
Right.
And it explains what you're going to read coming up, which kind of is like having a sermon. It's like a 5-minute sermon in a way, but it'll kind of do all these little things that draws all the pages,
yeah,
and all the pictures that they put in there. So, of course, they're called the Bible Project.